Thank you, sir. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your leadership. We thank you for your son. I thank you for this remarkable community of weak human beings that you have inspired and touched us to say yes again and again when we keep stumbling and wanting to say no. Thank you, Lord, that you contend with us. You lift us up when we trip. You lift us up again when we quit. You lift us up again. I look back over the years. I just say thank you at such a time as this. Thank you for your graciousness, your kindness, your gentleness with us as a people over these 24 years, over these 40 years. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in a few moments, we're going to have a group of Stuart's going to have some folks up here sharing some dreams, some perspectives. We're really, what we're doing is having a debriefing for the 21 days in May. And I want to say a couple really important statements. Some of you might take the statements wrong, and I hope you don't, because some of them will sound like, wow, aren't we special? And that's not really what I'm thinking. I think we are special in the sense that every community that says yes to the grace of God, they have a special assignment. Everybody does. Every Christian community in the earth. I never want to minimize that or just play that down. But May, 21 days in May, I want to say something real important. History on the planet Earth shifted May this year. I'm going to say that again. The trajectory of the human race on planet Earth shifted in a 21-day period. That's like, excuse me? That is something I've thought through thoroughly. That doesn't mean it's right, just because I thought it through over and over. But it's not a quick, impulsive thought. I've been thinking on this for the 12 weeks. From March 7th, it was a 12-week period, to May 28th. And that 12-week period, when I was engaging with so many leaders day after day in Zoom calls and this and that and the other, I was thinking, you know, what meaneth thou this? I went through about five different mindsets over that 12-week period. And I haven't counted five, but I shifted at first. Honestly, March 7th, I didn't really want to do this. I mean, I really didn't. I don't want to go into that again. I thought, okay, we will. Okay, let's do it. Let's just do it. And then 10 days later, 300,000 people responding, and I thought, well, that was a shock. And then I said, why? And then, of course, I said, wow. But my wow diminished pretty quick, went from a wow to a why. At the three-week mark, it was about 1 million believers saying yes. Then my wow was completely gone. Not entirely, but it was really small, and it was like, what's happening? Why would God do this? There's something serious that has trouble in it. That began to preoccupy my thinking right about, you know, at the three-week mark, right about March 30th, something like April 1st. I started talking to the Lord. And again, I'm in this, it's a really good position because I'm talking to another set of an international network of leaders from another language. And they're going, why are you doing this? And why and what? And I had to answer it over and over again. And the guy that was getting instructed was me. I didn't tell them that, but I was shifting every week. I was going, oh. And I was just saying things to them, and I was getting instructed. It was dawning on me what was happening. And I'm not saying that to be funny or humble or whatever. I'm saying that because what Stuart said really happened. He said, in this 21 days... Well, to me, it was a 12-week period that was just night and day for 12 weeks. This, you know, the 9 weeks leading up to the 3 weeks. But it was every conversation, every moment I was quiet, I was thinking on it and talking to the Lord, getting ready for the next conversation. And Stuart said it so well. He said, God's going to reveal IHOP to IHOP. I thought that was pretty neat. And then afterwards I went, wait, that's not neat. That's profound. Wait, that's not profound. That's serious and urgent. And I just kept morphing over to, wait, what is happening right now? A couple thoughts, just till we grasp a little bit, because this is only the beginning of the beginning. But I've talked to the different folks that were keeping some of the numbers and working on it and stuff, and so well over 5 million Gentiles committed to pray for Israel for 1 hour a day for 21 days. Well, that's only alarming when we think of history. Nothing like that has ever happened in human history, ever. And again, that's not wow, that's oh. Good, but ouch and good. What is about to happen that this happened? So I talked to some of the leaders, and I've given some of this piece by piece over the weeks, but this is a debriefing emotive. I'm just thinking out loud right now. And I talked to leaders in Israel, and there are people who keep the stats and the data on the global prayer movement. I mean, there's guys out there, gals that work, and they know like every house of prayer in the earth. I mean, the amount of work that would take to stay up with that. And I don't know how accurate all the numbers are, but they keep understanding the scope. So I've asked a number of them, has there ever been a time in history, any time in history? I mean, call it the history of the church, if you want to say it more dramatically, human history. But, you know, that 10,000 Gentiles prayed for Israel for 10 straight days. That was just an idea I just thought of and started using that, and every one of them said, no, we don't know of any time ever that 10,000 Gentiles prayed for Israel for 10 straight days, like in a concerted effort, together, knowing they were doing it together. No, nothing like that's ever happened. Then why do you think 5 million did it for 21 days? What's up? What I've said a little hints of this, but I want to again remind you on the Friday nights over that 12-week period. I can't remember how many we did. I think most every Friday on this subject, I think, from March 7th all the way to May 28th. But I heard some teachings on Friday nights from Isaac and Dave Slyker and this guy here. I mean, some profound teachings. And they're all on the internet, and they're probably the transcriptions are up there with them. I'm a transcription guy. I always like the transcription. Because I want to read it and review it. And there were others on Zoom calls and other discussions. I'm not saying just those three, but there was profound new understanding. I've studied Israel, God's purpose for Israel, the biblical narrative of Israel in the end times, you know, for the last 25 years was a little bit of focus for 25 years. Not 40, but for 25. And I learned a bunch of new things. I thought, wow. And I just know how the grace of God works. A number of the things they were saying, that's the first time they ever said it, they ever thought of it, was coming out of their mouth. The Lord was teaching them while they were teaching us. I know how that works. I was going, Lord, we're blessed. And then the question comes to me, why did I do that in your midst? So you'd be blessed? Yeah, I want you blessed. Is there any other reason? Wow, we need to know this. And not that June, July, and August, you've got to go devour all those over and over again. But I want you to say note to self. In the next 12 months, don't put it off forever, go back and review some of these. I don't mean a quick read. I mean, look at it as a student. Because we're really students of his heart. It's really about the beauty of Jesus and his magnificent plans. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about Gentiles and Israel. We're talking about his magnificent leadership. And that's what's contained in the story of Israel. It's the story of God. It's our story. It's the story of redeemed humans. It's put in a really focused, really, God in a very myopic way just says, take Israel, I'll tell the story of God through them. And Gentiles in this age, for billions of years, you'll know the story of God through what I did to this nation that I highly favored, who were arrogant, who were sinful, rebellious, that I broke, but then I healed, then I rescued, then I honored, and then I caused them to lead with humility and gratitude. That's the story, the human family in redemption. So the Israel story is much bigger than just, what's the deal about Israel now? It's the story of God. It really is. And most of you really have got a hold of that point. But I'm looking at it as a community. I go, Lord, we've got to know this. I said this last week, better than we really believe in God's purpose for Israel. We pray for Israel. We had even that 21 days we prayed for Israel. Matter of fact, we've done it 8 or 10 2-hour prayer meetings a week for 24 years. There's 8 or 10. Sometimes there's 11. Sometimes there's 8. It kind of shifts up and down. Have 2-hour prayer meetings for 24 years for Israel. That's not enough that you're a part of a community that can say that. Like, okay, what's the message? What's the Bible say? What do you say with your lips? I don't know. We're in. No, that's not quite enough. We're in all the way. God said, and I believe it. That settles it. What did he say? Well, you know, all Israel will be saved. What else? Stuff like that. Now, I'm not trying. I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek right now because what we need to know. That's why next week I'm going to take 5 or 10 simple points on how we can easily refute. I don't like the word refute, so I'm going to probably come up with a better term because I don't want us to be arguers. I don't want us to be debaters. And I was, you know, over the years I've taught CBETs, I go, I don't want to train a bunch of people to win arguments about the end times. I want to win hearts. There's this glorious king, a bridegroom king, and he's worthy of us winning hearts to him, not winning arguments with Bible data, not BibleJeopardy.com. That's not what we want to be. We really don't. We want to be people who win people to his heart. And a lot of believers don't know some things all of us don't know a lot of things, but I mean some simple points that when they understand them, it's like, wow. But we're never going to win them if we debate them and we know and we interrupt them and answer before they finish their statement because we got that verse they didn't know. We got them. Ugh, that's ugly. We don't want nothing to do with that. So I said my working title for next week is how we can easily refute replacement theology that the church has replaced Israel. And I hate that word refute. Come up with a better word. How we can do something nice, okay? Help me, man. Okay. We'll see you next week. Anyway, back to a serious note. That 5 million Gentiles did this. Never in history happened. 12,000 ministry hubs. And a hub, most of you know by now, it's on the Isaiah 62 website. It's a ministry that says we want to be a hub to mobilize activity in our nation, in our language. We want to be a hub of activity. That's what the word hub means. We want to be a hub of activity. We will mobilize it in our area. Well, 12,000 ministries have said we want to do that. Not just for the 21 days. We want to do that. That number needs to be 112,000 before it's over, plus, whatever the number is. We're going to keep that website up in place, that Isaiah 62 website. For 21 days, it was to mobilize intercessors. Now, it's a prophetic statement to unbelieving Israel. When Israel hears the story a month, a year, 5 years from now, hey, did you hear a bunch of Gentiles back in May 2023? 5 million of them, they claim, pray. They go, what? I don't buy that. They're going to see that website. Not that they'll believe the website, but there's 12,000 by then. We're going to ask more ministries to sign up, not for May, obviously May's gone, but say, will you be a hub of activity of the biblical narrative of Israel in your land, in your nation? So we're going to keep that going. We're going to take a little time off and rest for a little while, but we want that website to be like a global directory of ministries finding each other in their language and in their nation. We don't want to use it to promote any ministry, just for ministries to find people in their area. So social media conversations, blogs, you know, prayer guides for Israel, they can put those kinds of things, make them available. 12,000. I was thinking if we had 500, that'd be fantastic. I would be very happy. And the Lord's answer is, no, it's not about you. It's not about you being happy. I'm changing human history. You just don't get it yet. I'm barely grasping that. But every day it's more clear to me. History of the trajectory of the human family on the planet shifted in May. I want to say that again. And the Lord used people like you in a catalytic way. I mean, you all, almost every one of you in this room, you sat back, row 8, row 10. You sat there, you said, well, I'm doing my best to say what they say, and I'm tired, and I'm fretting a little bit. Now, I don't know, I can't stay the whole time I was planning on it. My kids are, okay, I'll give it there. No, we all did the human thing, but you know what? You did it. You sat in that chair, and you did your best to say what they said on the songs, and you didn't do it that great. No one did it that great, but we did it. And what I found out from 40 years ago, that the 5 or 6 supernatural things that happened in the fast 40 years ago, it was really weak, but it worked. It set things in motion. And the Lord says, I'm not looking for impressive prayer meetings. I'm looking for people who will voluntarily will say what I say and say it to me. And in their weakness and in their frailty, I get it. It's still good. 12,000 ministry hubs, 100 different languages. The information has been translated. Well, that's really great, except for there are 7,000 languages in the earth. So I don't want to make that point right now. But I appreciate 100 languages. I appreciate that number. And maybe, I don't know what else we'll translate on it. Because again, we don't want to use that website to promote anything except for as a directory to do it. 120 different nations. Ministries in 120 nations. Are mobilizing people for Israel. So let me say that again. 5 million people, 12,000 ministries that are a hub of activity to mobilize people, 100 languages, 120 nations. Wow. No. Wow was March. Oh, that's what June is. Ooh, that's more like July. What? That's what we need to be saying. What just happened? Romans, I'm not going to give a big teaching right now, but this one you got to know, Romans 11:25. You just got to know Romans 11:25. Tell your neighbor, Romans 11:25. That's going to help you remember it just because you made it, have a little fun with it. God says, I want you to know this. He goes, I want, Paul uses the famous verse. We all know it, Romans 11:25. I would that you would not be ignorant. He's writing to the Gentile Christians at Rome. He goes, Gentile Christians at Rome, you're unaware of the master plan. And I don't want you unaware of the master plan. The master plan in Romans 11:25 is called the mystery of God. But it's the language I use is God's grand family plan. It's the master plan. Paul used the word, he just said mystery. But it meant the God's grand family plan that Jesus, he prayed it out in John 17, those last 7 verses. Fantastic. The family plan of the Jews and Gentiles so unified in Yeshua that shocks the nations and the glory of God follows on the heels of their unity. It's the fact, he says, Paul says, I don't want you ignorant of the grand family plan. The mystery is the word he used. Now, where did Paul get that? I don't want you ignorant. The Holy Spirit says, Paul, you can say it, but I'm the one that's saying it, Paul. And if I don't want the body of Christ ignorant of it, you can be sure before Jesus returns, they will not be ignorant of it. That's the Spirit speaking through Paul. 2,000 years later, 90% plus of the church is ignorant of the grand master plan. But I got good news. Before the Lord returns, the Holy Spirit will have his way. They will not be ignorant of it. Well, what about us? Well, we have the 21 days. And again, I love that. I'm not putting that down. That's just the beginning of the beginning. We've got to learn the message. Not details. You don't have to all be Bible teachers and historians. But the 5 or 10 points. I mean, the simple one-liners is all I'm talking about. Couple verses, we've got to get it into our mouth because we've got to get it into the mouth of our children. And we have to get it into their mouths so they get it into the mouths of their friends. Because there's a really important verse. I'm not going to break it down. I've hinted at it over the years. It's where history's going. It's Romans 11. No, we're not at Romans 11. Joel 3, verse 14. Romans 11 is what I was just talking about. Quit saying Romans. Joel 3. Thank you, Stuart. Verse 14. Joel. Okay. Joel gives his prophecy, and everybody knows the prophecy a little bit, but it's mostly misunderstood. It says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decisions. The day of the Lord is at hand. Multitudes in the valley of decision. And most of us have heard that verse, multitudes in the valley of decision, but we've taken it out of context of Joel 3. Joel 3, what it's talking about, every Gentile on the earth. Well, every Jewish person too, but all 8 billion. Everyone, before it's over, has to take a stand for or against Israel. The Lord says everyone will be in this valley of decision before it's over. Because when the mark of the beast system, that's not just it, but that's a very empowering thing for evil. You won't be able to buy or sell unless you renounce Israel. And if you renounce Israel, Romans 11, back to Romans 11, verse 22 and 23, Paul says, you get arrogant and you say no, you will be cut off from the grace of God. It's real serious, and almost no one pays attention to that verse. It's like, ugh. There is coming a divine drama on the planet where God is going to require everyone to participate in the grand family plan. Because he's going to use, Romans 11, 25, that's the verse. He's going to use the Gentiles to provoke unbelieving Israel to jealousy. He's going to use Gentile believers to reveal the God of Israel to unbelieving Israel. He's doing it on purpose. But he goes, Gentiles, you've got to be anchored. You've got to be anchored in the narrative, because when you provoke them to jealousy, what do you mean to jealousy? They will be, unbelieving Israel will be jealous to have a relationship with the God of Israel that a billion Gentiles have. Well, the billion Gentiles have to understand the narrative a little bit. Not just so they tell the Jews, that's not the big point. The point is, if they don't know the narrative when the pressure's on, they'll back away and they'll cave in and deny their faith over it. This is an issue that affects your children and grandchildren in a very real way, whether we understand that or not. That's where this thing is going. Your children and grandchildren have to have this in their mouth or they won't stand. And if they don't stand, it's serious. It's not a game. Because God's going to cause Gentiles to provoke unbelieving Israel and reveal them the God of Israel so that Israel is humble and grateful to the Gentiles who are humble and grateful to Israel, because they all get the story. And then when Jesus returns, there's going to be this unity of Jews and Gentiles across the earth. And the glory of the millennial kingdom is in the context of John 17 unity. But he goes, Gentiles, you have to do your part. And your part isn't just praying and learning the message, because there's going to be a tremendous attack against Israel coming. And if you don't know the message and the plan, you or your children will not stand. You will cave, because one of the great litmus tests of loving Jesus will be standing with his leadership for Israel. Now, for 2,000 years, that hasn't been something the Holy Spirit's emphasized. But 5 million said yes. Okay, where does that file? What's that mean? Just another couple moments, and then I'm going to we're going to shift it to the next part of the evening here. The 5 million, here's the math I've been saying, for 21 days, they all have two friends. So by the end of May, there's 15 million Gentiles in the discussion. I don't mean they're convinced. I don't mean they understand the biblical narrative. But for the first time, most of them, not all of them, some of them have been faithful for 40 years. There's a core that have been faithful for 40 years. I mean, we're so grateful. You know, the Derek Princes in the 60s and the 70s, You know, the Malcolm Headings. I mean, a number of them stood. David Pawson. Oh, my goodness. Gwynne Shaw. They stood. They held the line in the 70s and 80s when many were resisting. John Hagee's one. Pat Robertson. But not many. I could go on and on and on. I don't want to go. That's not my point. To have a list of gratitude. But there's some real faithful ones. But the 15 million, most of them, it's the first time they've ever asked the question. What's the biblical narrative of Israel? I don't know. What is it? Because here's why the 10 million are going to say it. Because the 5 million are going to say, oh, man, we did this 21-day fast, 5 million of us. And the 10 million, because they're human, are going to get a little bit defensive. Oh, so you're saying I missed it, right? No, I'm not saying you missed it. Oh, so I was supposed to pray for Israel too? And why? I've been preaching for 50 years. That's what they really say. And they'll say, I don't know, that verse doesn't mean that. Let's show this. Well, what's the verse mean then? I don't know. Pastor, what's that verse mean? Pastor goes, I don't know. We don't really talk about that much. 10 million plus the 5 that did it will be in this conversation. And here's the good news. The good news is if you ask the questions to the Lord and you start talking, you find the answers. The answers are easy to find. They're everywhere. But if you never talk about it, you never see it. And that's 90% of the billion believers in the earth. They never talk about it. They don't know how easy and how clear the answers are. These 15 million in a short amount of time, I don't know, a year, two or three, I don't know. Most of them are going to go, my goodness, how come we never talk about it? Then we're going to get some pastors. We're going to have a lot of humble ones that go, okay, give me a minute. I'll start learning it. Then we're going to get some defensive pastors. It's just a spirit of error. You can't tell me I've missed it all these years preaching. And the debates are going to rage. And I've told some of these leaders, I go, don't be worried about the couple real famous voices will stand against you and call you stupid and error and a deceived. Because with 10 or 20 big voices, the conversation will go to 100 million. I go, you actually kind of win those voices. Because then everybody will be searching it out. Well, those 15 million that are already gently talking about it right now, just wondering, did I really miss something? Why did they do that? Why doesn't my church talk about it? The pastors don't know, have a good answer. We learned in seminary, Israel was no longer an issue. Where does it say in the Bible? I don't know, just seminary, we were taught that. Well, where's it at in the Bible? Well, everybody knows. Like where? Thousands of pastors are going to start looking at it. Oh, this is going to get exciting. Here's why. Here's the takeaway point I want to get you to. Romans 11:25. Remember the verse. What is it again? Good. You got to get that one verse. Well, there's about three or four, but that's a big one. It says, when the Gentiles come to fullness, that comes in stages. That doesn't come in just one day. To the degree that the Gentiles, we're talking about the billion soul harvest, end time revival, to the degree that Gentiles start getting closer to fullness, to that degree, Israel gets saved. God has tied Israel's awakening from blindness to the Gentiles' fullness. The Gentiles' fullness, I think of at least four areas of the fullness of the Gentile. There'll be a full number. And the popular phrase, it's not an actual number. It's the billion soul harvest. It's probably a lot more than that. We don't know, but that's a good enough number. It makes us go, whoa. And that's good to say whoa on that one. Okay, a billion soul harvest. That's the fullness, the full number. Number two, the full character. We're talking about humility in love. Number three, we're talking about full power. Greater works than these beyond the book of Acts. Number four, full wisdom. I mean, no one ever has full wisdom, but the church knows the biblical narrative. And when Israel, when the millions of Gentiles start walking deeper love, greater power, greater understanding, and they're telling Israel the story, and under great persecution, they're fearless in love. I mean, many will lose their life. They said, hey, we're not afraid of death. We're sons of the resurrection. He is the resurrection. We're not afraid of death. And unbelieving Israel go like, who are you guys? No, it's the God of Israel that's the resurrection. What? Why are you standing with us? We're fearless. We're not afraid of dying. We love his glory and we love his plan. Israel just go like, what? The fullness of the Gentiles, progressive. As it increases, salvation comes more and more to Israel. When salvation comes to Israel, the glory of God goes back to the Gentiles. The Lord's got this all interconnected. This 5 million is 15 million now, talking about it, never in history. These 15 million, let me just make up a number, 3 years. They all have three friends. It'll be 50 million Gentiles talking about this subject. Not believing, but talking about it. Going, wow, oh my goodness. It will go to the 100 million intercessors that Bob Jones talked about and others as well. It will go, and when 100 million Gentile intercessors, that's a beginning of fullness. Power will be on the church. Spirit of glory touching families. Oh my goodness, it's so dynamic. It's going to shift the planet. 2,000 years, it's never happened. May was a catalytic moment of 5 million turning to 15, not intercessors, but in the conversation. That'll be 50 within 3 or 4 years. I'm confident of that in the conversation. When the body of Christ in covenant with Jesus starts agreeing with God's plan for Israel, God says, I'll bless you if you bless them. There'll be an increase of power on the church, on our families, on our ministries, on lots of things. The thing just starts escalating. And it's never happened before. And this May was the catalytic month. It didn't start because there's been some thousands for 40 years that have been faithful to God's narrative of Israel. So it's not the beginning. Someone says, it started in May. I go, that's too dismissive of too many faithful people in the last 100 years. Gentile believers who have stood for Israel. Not been many, but they have been hardcore, and we cannot forget their part of the story. So it didn't begin in May. But May was a catalytic time, historic catalytic, for the escalation of the increase of the conversation. That's issue. When the conversation increases, the prayer will follow the conversation, because when the conversation increases, they'll find the verses. They find the verses, well, I might as well pray then. Then they start praying, then they'll stand for Israel. Then the glory of God will hit them as they stand for Israel, because the Lord is so serious that the whole grand family plan is tied together, Jews and Gentiles. In Joel 3:14, he said, every single Gentile on the earth, everybody will be in the valley of decision. This idea that my church didn't do Israel. You know, I've mentioned this over in some of these calls, that over the last 24 years, we've had nearly 25,000 people that have been with us in a full-time way. 3 months or 3 years, interns, students, staff, part-time, full-time, whatever. Nearly 25,000 people, whatever the number is. I don't even care what the number is, but they've come from all the different backgrounds. Here's my point. 90% of the people that have joined us here over the 24 years of IHOP said, my church didn't do Israel. Not all, but about 90%. And what I have found, that in about 1 hour, you can convince them, because the Bible verses are that clear and that easy. And a lot have just said, I agree because I love and trust these people who love Jesus, and they agree, so I'm guessing it's right. Well, that's better than nothing, but that's not quite enough. That's not going to hold you steady when pressure comes. And it's certainly not going to help you train your children and their friends when trouble comes. You got to get this in your mouth. It's got to get in their mouth, because the trouble is coming. I don't think the trouble is coming in a minute, but it's not far. The timetable of heaven is escalating so rapidly right now. I mean, 5 years ago, I could not imagine the things that are developing right now in darkness I'm talking about. But the light is the same as well. Anyway, it was historic what happened last month. And we're catalytic in it, okay? We're not that great. That's okay. It still works. But it's time to start learning it. We don't got to be great at it. Just learn it a little bit. Because if you learn it, it'll make more sense, because your friends need to know, because if we don't know it, we won't stand. I'm telling you, trouble is coming, and the Lord for Israel. Revelation 12, we'll look at this at another time, although a few of the messages really hit it really clear. Revelation 12, Satan, the dragon, is breathing through the Antichrist to destroy Israel. He wants Israel gone. He's coming after Israel with wrath and rage. And the Lord says, those who have the, Revelation 12, verse 17, those that have the testimony of Jesus, the Gentiles, They will love Jesus even till the end. They'll love him more than they love their own life, and they will be there, right there in Revelation 12. You find them in verse 10, then in verse 17. Meaning that's us and our own and our family and our friends and the people we love. And the escalation is continuing, and the spirit of revival is connected to it, and the grand family plan is connected to it, and it's never happened before where 10,000 people for 10 days prayed for Israel. 5 million, it's going to go to 15 million in 3 years. Not prophesying, just doing simple math. It will be 50 million because they love Jesus in the Bible. They'll say, okay, they'll find it easy. Beloved, we are in a real seriously important time in history. And I'm not trying to be corny. I'd rather be a part of this group. I'm so glad I'm with people like you. Again, we're not great, but we keep signing up after we quit yesterday. We sign up again today. And that works. That works if we could just keep doing that. It works. Two things I want to say, more things, and then be done with this, is that where's Rob at?
Right there.
Where?
He's right there. Right there.
Rob, stand up. I know, just stand up and be quiet. Okay. This guy. Just keep standing. Rob Giese. You don't even, you know, your name Geese. You know that, right? With a Y on it. Yeah, you got that. Okay. But Rob Giese. But you might not know, but maybe you do by now, the importance of the geese to us in this movement. Do you? If you say no, I'll tell you the story. If you say yes, I'll shut up. Not really. Tell the story. No. It's a real short story, but I'll tell you. Anyway, this guy, it's March 7th. Or whatever day it is. Anyway, that's when it starts. So people start responding. We don't do Isaiah 62 till the 10-day mark. When the 300,000, I went, whoa, this is not an IHOP thing anymore. We're one of the hubs now. This is not about us. For the first 10 days, we were going to do a 40-year commemoration. It was always more than that. I was just slow of understanding. In God's heart, it was always much more than that. But I just didn't get it on the beginning of this. And so at the 10-day mark, we start Isaiah 62, keep standing, Rob. And he's our section leader in the afternoon, him and Rick Wilkerson. And you guys do a great job together. And not everybody knows you, but I just wanted to say that. But so I go to Rob. I go, hey, Rob, there's a bunch of people wanting to sign up, but it's not working. They don't know how to get their hubs. Would you help? Because he's a real humble guy and smart. And he goes, yeah, I can help a little bit. We were thinking 500 hubs, 12,000. So about 20 days later, I just make up I go, Rob, you only have 8,000 more to help enter in. He goes, oh my goodness. And he didn't say, oh my goodness, but you know, I was in for 500, 12,000. And he's got a team helped him, but he stayed in the midst of that, helping 100 languages. I mean, Victor, you helped with the language. I mean, a bunch of, I don't want to go through the list. We so many people helped. But anyway, thank you. No, but really, thank you. That's why there's 12,000, because of you and the folks you mobilized. But he only signed up for 2 weeks for 500. I didn't know it was going to happen. But thank you that you didn't quit. But it was wearisome. You're doing it hours a day, helping people in four languages sign up because they wanted to be on that. They wanted to declare it and the people in their nation to know they were there. And so it really mattered. I'll tell the geese story. It's real simple. It's May 1983, right at the beginning of the fast. I have known Bob Jones since March 7th, so I've known him about 10 weeks, but nobody in our young adult church knows Bob Jones. I mean, maybe 3-4 people did. I mean, nobody, not in the strictest sense, but he was unknown. And he didn't really fit into the main demographic of who was gathering on Sunday. I'll just leave it there. And so the fast is called, 21 days, May 7th. And Bob, no one knows him, 99% don't know him, stands up on row 10. The first word he ever gave, ever, he got up, he said, the geese are coming. The geese are coming. And he shouted, Jerry, do you remember that? You actually do? Joanne, wave. Oh, wait, the guy right, hey, tell this geese guy right in front of you, Jerry, that it's a true story. You guys are, yeah, you get love on him afterwards, okay. Well, the funny part is, because it's funny, but it's awesome. Bob stands up. He goes, the geese is coming. No one knows him. He's on row 10. But he sang it. His first word ever in our world publicly. And he sings worse than me. No, he does. He went, it's true. He went, the geese are coming. The geese are coming. Hallelujah, the geese are coming. Jerry, is that true? And people looked. And he sat down. Oh, not out of embarrassment. He didn't have an ounce of embarrassment about anything. That was never an issue. Bob's the only person I've ever said, Bob, I'm praying you get a little bit of a political spirit, a little bit. That was always a joke, but I didn't really pray that. But anyway, Bob sat down. No one knew who did it. And they're looking around and go, what was that? And I didn't have any guts to say, oh, he's my friend. I kind of, oh, so someone. No one knew Bob yet. That was the first time he ever said a word. And the second time he ever said it was on May 28th. He came up on the platform the first time publicly, because that was in, well, I guess that was public too, but he got up and said, the pause is on until the Lord, you know, the Lord's timing. But I went to him afterwards. I go, what was that? He goes, no, the geese are coming. I go, excuse me? Because Bob saw so many things in parables. He goes, no, this is real. He goes, in the spirit, geese are the intercessors. He goes, they're the honkers. And I said, I don't understand. He goes, no, when the season shifts, start around Canada all the way down, the geese come first, and they honk the arrival of a new season. He goes, what you don't know, this is 40 years ago, this is 40-day fast, you just loosed the geese in this city, in this movement. I went, what? He goes, no, you did. He goes, you wait and see. There'll be millions of intercessors. You just wait and see. He goes, the geese are coming. So Rob, geese, thank you for helping the intercessors come. That's a real story. The last thing I want to say is that I have such a passion because the Lord spoke it audibly that on our platform ministry style, we have humility. And we don't draw attention to ourselves. The preachers don't, the ministry people, the singers, the musicians. Because whenever you get a big crowd, it's so tempting to put a little extra jig into the system. You know, that just that extra little thing. So everyone knows that they know that you know that they know that you know. That's just called humanity. And I remember when we had the One Thing conferences, when the lights got big and bright and lots were coming. Little that would sneak out. People would do stuff they never did in their private life. I go, if you don't do it privately, don't do it on the platform. Don't fake slain in the spirit nearly when you're, because the stage has got a bug light. Don't do that. And most never did. Most never did. I always had about 1% minus. And the Lord was so adamant that we hold the line on that kind of stuff. Ministry guys, preachers, all the way through the line. Well, 21 days. And I was in the prayer room, you know, in the morning, through the day, et cetera, et cetera. And I cared about this because we had millions of people participating. And I said, Lord, I just want us to do well. I want to say this. I didn't see one human being do one thing on the platform, an intercessor, a musician, not one element. I kept watching. Not suspiciously. I go, Lord, this is beautiful. Because the world's watching, and they don't care to add the little extra. Thank you, IHOP.
Amen.